If you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 2, that's going to be, I mean, you can't have Christmas without camping around the Christmas story, right? So, and then also I put an outline on the back of your bulletin there for you, so. And as you can see, the front of the bulletin is actually the message. I didn't pick the message for the bulletin, but I happened to find out I had this bulletin. The purpose of Christmas. The purpose of Christmas. You thought about that this year? What is the purpose of Christmas? You know, Christmas, and we're starting now in case you're wondering. Christmas is the largest celebration around the world each year. I mean, it's a worldwide celebration. And it's really only one day, as you know. We've chosen to have it the 25th of December. But as you know, it's emphasized over at least a month. I mean, you can't even get through Thanksgiving before they're pushing Christmas products on you, you know. But Christmas is huge throughout the world. And that's wonderful, really. I mean, really, we can moan and groan about the fact that it's losing its significance, but we still celebrate it. People spend, billions of people set aside their normal routines. Anybody set aside their normal routines this year to make preparations for Christmas? Yeah, we're all doing that, right? We decorate our homes, we send out cards, we buy gifts. Do you know that in America, we buy gifts to the tune of $450 billion? I wonder what we could do with that money one year. Just say, this year we're not going to buy gifts. We're just going to pick a country and make an impact on them for Christ, you know. But at any rate, in our country, it probably wouldn't be for Christ because they wouldn't want us talking about Christ. But you know, we'll give it to somebody else. But at any rate, we go to Christmas parties. Been to any Christmas parties this year? Sure. My house, yes. Yes, good. It was a fine party. We had a great time, yes, yes. We attend church services. We sing Christmas songs. We watch Christmas TV specials. And we travel very long distances to be with our family. And so I say this, that when Christmas comes, you cannot miss it. It's a great opportunity for us as followers of Christ to say something about Christ. Amen? And it's interesting that when you stop and think about it, that a simple, unassuming birth in the Middle East has affected so many people in this world. I mean, that speaks for something in and of itself, right? Jesus Christ has affected humanity more than any figure in the course of history. You can't find anybody else that's affected science, medicine, orphanages, homes, education. I mean, people, when they heard about Christ, they wanted the rest of the world to know, and he gifted and talented them in such a way that they could make an impact, just like he did with Israel. Remember, Israel was a chosen people. They were a blessed people. Those that cursed them were cursed. Those that blessed them were blessed. They were the head and not the tail. I mean, they were blessed so that they could point the rest of the nations to the fact that Yahweh was the one true God. And yet, the night that he was born, which we're going to turn to in a second here, there was just a small group of poor shepherds tending their sheep in a nearby field. And I imagine that night they looked up at the stars and nothing seemed much different from any other nights. Probably tired, sat down on a rock or wherever they could find to sit. But something different was going to happen that night. Different than thousands of nights throughout history. And it would transform their lives. And the birth of Jesus Christ has transformed humanity. I mean, we live in a time where it's pretty dim. The light's not shining as bright as it should. But we have the opportunity to let it shine brighter. But it has transformed billions of lives. The world would never be the same after that evening. And suddenly a bright light lit up in the sky, and an angel appeared above them and he began to speak. And turn with me to Luke 2, if you're not already there, starting in verse 7 or 8. Let me get there. I didn't open my Bible to that. Luke 2. Let me read here. Starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." If you notice in verse 10, the angel proclaimed good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. That was the announcement that first Christmas. And you say, really? Or the world says, really? This is great news of great joy? For many people, getting ready for Christmas seems more of a hassle, right, than happiness. I mean, I get stressed out just like everybody else. You know, there's so much to do. Christmas can become a source of stress. They don't feel pleasure at Christmas. They feel pressure. That's a shame, isn't it? It is a shame. And it becomes a duty and not a delight. You find ourselves trying to buy gifts for people that don't need anything, right? You can't figure out what else they need. We have so much stuff. And for many people, they endure Christmas rather than enjoy it. People are exhausted, at their wits' end, frazzled. Can I get an amen? I mean, you're like, one more person, you know. Oh, I forgot the Christmas card, and you're worried about, you know, I mean, the things that we worry about, right? It's exhausting. But really, Christmas is the best news that anybody could get. It's the best news. Because behind all the trimmings and the lights, and I love Christmas. So you've been to my house at Christmas party. I put up all those lights. I put up the train around the tree. I put on, you know, my wife says, you know, we don't even have kids at home. Why are you doing this? I said, I don't want to lose that celebration in our house, you know. I don't want to toss it away and put a little ceramic tree on a coffee stand, you know. If you've done that, I understand. I mean, we may get there. For the cost of a nice spruce tree, we may get there quicker than I would even think. But there's Christmas, there's these profound truths that lie in Christmas. And we don't think about them. And we may, but the rest of the world just go along. And they hear the songs. Remember last, you know, joy to the world, the Lord has come. His blessings are found as far, his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. Those are huge theological truths that go unnoticed by masses of people. And the implications of Christmas are astounding, and people don't actually understand them. What is the purpose of Christmas? Let me just say a couple things in passing here. God's Christmas gift to you has three qualities that make it unique. And I put this on the back of your outline there. Number one, it's the most expensive gift you'll ever receive this Christmas if you take and receive it. Why? Because it cost God his only son. Sent him to earth to die for our sin. So it's the most expensive gift anybody could receive. Second, it's the only gift that you will receive that will last forever. Amen? I mean, I had kids, right? I mean, 1 year they got gifts, the next year you're trying to figure out what did you even give them because you can't find them. They destroyed them or demolished them or left them out in the woods. That was one of my father's gripes, you know. I buy you things and I find them all over the yard, you know. But at any rate. And thirdly, it's a very practical gift, the gift of Jesus Christ. It's something that we use, can use every moment of every day. Just we benefit from knowing Christ. Amen? Not just in eternity, but right now we benefit. And so this week, we're just going to look at that Christmas, the purpose of Christmas is it's a time to celebrate. That's what the angel said in verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Good news of great joy. That's celebrating, right? Celebrating. That's the first thing that the angel said. I'm bringing you people on the face of the earth good news that's going to bring you great joy. It's a time for celebration. You know, actually, Christmas is a birthday party. Think about it. That's what we're doing. That's what when we say Merry Christmas, we're telling people, celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. It's incredible. It's a birthday party for Christ every year. They don't realize it. They look at it as a, you know, consumer time to make things line up in the books at the end of the year and sell products and that type of thing. Not everybody, but it's part of it. But it's a birthday party. You know, I read this week on the internet, there were some firefighters in Ithaca, New York. I don't know if you read this. But they had put out a sign in front of the fire station that said, "Happy Birthday, Jesus." And it's, underneath it, it says, God loves you. And right away they were confronted by an atheist group. I went online, I watched the interview, the fire captain chief, I guess you call him, flatly just refused to take it down. He said, "I'm not taking it down. That's it." You know, and so the interviewer said, "Well, what would happen if somebody put up a happy birthday sign to Muhammad?" And he didn't answer it directly, but he said something very profound. He said, "Actually, the Muslim people in this community are more put off when Christmas becomes about Santa Claus, because they realize that." They would never do that to their prophet Muhammad. That they would keep the reason for that day. Look, the reason it's Happy Birthday Jesus is because we're celebrating the birth of Christ. And he said, I wish he would have said, "Well, it's Christ's birthday, what else would we do? We'll celebrate Christ's birthday." So the lady went on to say, she says, "Your stance is going to seem to be intolerant." And he said to her, "Look, ma'am, I got firefighters under my care. Because these are resolute and tough individuals. They are not in the least bit thrown off course by somebody who, an atheist group or something." He said, "We're not taking it down." And he finished the interview by saying, "God bless you. And have a Merry Christmas." That was astounding. It was astounding. And I think that's what we need to say. Look, at Christmas has the word Christ in it, and so naturally we're going to celebrate Christ's birth. That's what the billions of people all over the world are celebrating. Interesting, isn't it? The firefighters got it right. Christmas is a day to celebrate Jesus' birthday. And which is ironic, because at most Christmas parties that you'll attend this year, I mean, if you go outside your family or maybe in your family, the name of Christ is very seldom mentioned. I have a family who doesn't believe in Christ for the most part. We'll get together Christmas Eve. I'm the token Christian, you know. Oh, wouldn't you pray for the food? But there won't be a lot of conversation about Christ that evening unless I initiate it. So how do we do that? Tactfully, gracefully, and just very naturally. Because that's what we're celebrating, right? That's why we're here. Folks, this is why we're here. Christmas Eve. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. If you ask people that, you know, what are they celebrating this Christmas, most of them aren't going to say that, are they? They're going to say things like, I'm celebrating that I made it through another year. And they may be. Or I'm celebrating being home with my family. And you hear this, that's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about family. And it's true. I mean, I love my kids. One of my sons coming home this afternoon, and one will be home this week. But Christmas is more than about family. Or I'm celebrating, I got a big Christmas bonus this year. Right? I'm celebrating making it through another Christmas season, right? It's a lot of work, Christmas, for a lot of us, right? And Roger, I thought he was going to preach my sermon there. You know, do we keep Christ in Christmas? Because we're busy people. And I read this quote this week. It says, don't get so wrapped up in what the world has to sell. Don't get wrapped up so much in what the world has to sell that you miss what God has to give. And that's the gift of His Son. So it's a struggle for all of us to keep Christ at the center of Christmas. We are celebrating the birth of Christ. That's what the angel said. I bring you good news, a great joy. Joy that will be for all people. And it's not just for a small group of people. We need to remember that. It's for everybody. And it's personal. I bring you. That's what the angel said. I bring you, shepherds. It's very personal. And it's positive. It's good news of great joy. And we need to look at it. We have a positive message. I mean, maybe people don't want to hear it, but it is a positive message. Good news of great joy, and it's universal because it's for all people. None. No matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, what you're going through now, where you think you're headed, this good news is for you. That Christ came to earth. And it says that, you know, God loves us. It implies that God loves us, right? The fact that God loves us is the most well-known statement in the Bible. Do you know that? I'll just give you a few. John 3:16, right? I mean, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. That's you. Yes, He came to free us from the bondages of sin and death, and I can major on that sometimes at the expense of talking about His love, but the entire reason for Christmas is the love of God. Right? God loves us so much that He came to earth as a human not only to die for our sins, but to show us what God is really like. Because up until that time, God's a spirit, right? And they got glimpses of His majesty, and they got glimpses of His power, and they got glimpses of many aspects of God. But when He came as a human being, we got to see Him in flesh and blood. And what was He about? He was about denying Himself and giving Himself to love His creation. He took the initiative. Do you know it's God who took the initiative? I remember that when I first got saved, I thought I was seeking God, but He was seeking me. It changed everything in my outlook. And you know, when you think about it, if you really want someone to know that you love them, you don't send someone else to tell them that, do you? Not really. Maybe in our day and age we could text them and tell them, I love you. But not me. I mean, if I'm going to really tell somebody I love them, I would love, unless I have no backbone, to sit with them and say, you know what, I really love you. And it's just so much more powerful saying it personally. And that's what Christmas is about. God personally sending his son to earth to tell his creation, I love you. I love you. You know, the Bible tells us that God is love. It's interesting, you know. God is love. Do you know that one, right? God is love. I think it's the most outstanding attribute of God, that he is love. He's sovereign. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's all those things. But the most outstanding characteristic of God is that he is love. It doesn't say God has love. It's a small nuance. It doesn't say that God has love. It says that God is love. He's the originator. It emanates from him. Love is the essence of his character. You can see that in Christ's life. The little baby grew up to be a man. And he walked the streets of Jerusalem and he taught people from daily life. But when the Romans nailed him to the cross, they stretched out his arms as wide as they could, right? And metaphorically speaking, with his arms open wide, Jesus was physically demonstrating to us, this is how much I love you. Must have been a sight to see the Savior just bruised and beaten and agony with his arms stretched out and saying to us, really, this is how much I love you. The God who is spirit, who's hard to comprehend, get our mind around, came to earth in his son and he stretched him out on the cross to show us how much he loved us. It's amazing. I love you that much. You know, another thing that these angels said, that they said that night, that it implied, is that good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. You know, Christmas is a time to celebrate that God is with you, right? He is with us. He is with us. Many people feel alone at Christmas, right? Maybe they lost somebody. Maybe that, you know, Christmas reminds them. And you may not feel right now that God is with you. And I can't make you feel that, but I can tell you that God is with you. He is with you today. And God's presence in your life is not dependent upon your feelings. It's nice to have the feelings. But that's why we read the Word, right? We're reminded through the Word of God, through His promises, that He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's with us. Some of us live on our feelings, right? I have a tendency. I mean, sometimes you get up in the morning and you don't feel, right, God's love. You're like, oh my, I've slept like a ton of bricks. I don't feel anything this morning, Lord. One of Jesus' names at Christmas is what? It's right behind me, right? Emmanuel, God is with us. Really speaks of his deity, doesn't it? I mean, there you are. There's a proof text for you. Emmanuel, God is with us. As one writer commented, God walked down the stairs of heaven with a baby in his arms and laid it in a manger. God walked down the stairs of heaven with a baby in his arm. Let me move on here. I'm going to skip a portion of this for the sake of time. One of the great promises in the Bible is found in Isaiah 43:2. Here's what it says. says, when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Look, I don't know what difficulty you feel you're drowning in right now, or where the heat has been turned up in your life, but I know that whatever it is, God knows it, right? We know that He knows it, He cares about it, He understands it, and He's going to lead you through it with Him right there by your side. You are not alone. You are not alone. And the last thing is, Christmas is a time to celebrate that God is for us, right? It's not just that He's beside us or with us, that He's for us. The phrase "for you" is used often in the Bible. For instance, when Jesus met people in need, when He would be walking the streets of Jerusalem, He would meet people in need. A lot of times His first question to those people were, "What do you want me to do for you?" That's interesting. He laid aside His deity. He came in the form of a man. And one of the first questions He asked humanity, "What do you want me to do for you? Why are you seeking me?" I mean, He knows that they're in the bondages of sin and death, but He still wants to know, what is your need today? Because He can fill any need. When Jesus instituted communion, you know what He said? "This is my body, which is given for you." It's for you. It's a personal thing. And the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, or God is for you, who can be against you? Boy, I need that painted on the backside of my glasses or every mirror at home, that God is for me. He is for us. That's incredible for me to try to get a grip on year after year, moment and moment, that God is for me. Because I'm not for myself sometimes. Like D.L. Moody said, I've never had so much trouble with anybody than I've had with myself. But God is for me. If we could just get that through our heads, that God is for you. That whatever it is, a personal attack or whatever, God with you, He is not only just with you, He's for you. He's pulling for you. He's planning for you. He's setting things in motion for you. And we're amazed when good things happen, right? I mean, I'm not a prosperity preacher, but we should expect good things because God is for us. Amen. God is for you. A lot of people think of God as some kind of grouch, right? He enjoys frustrating our plans and looking for ways to criticize, judge, or even get even with us. You know why we think God is like that? Because that's what we're like, right? That's the way we are. Way too much. But, you know, we love that scripture in Jeremiah 29:11, right? I don't know if you know it by heart, but here's what it says. It says, "I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. You know, He's got plans for all of us. We usually have something to do with frustrating those plans. But what's that one scripture? "I do not frustrate the grace of God." Is that the right? "I do not frustrate the grace of God." I think it's in one of the epistles. In other words, God wants to pour out His grace, but I'm the one standing in the way. "I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. "There are plans for good." What did the angel say? "I got good news of great joy. And not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And nobody ever quotes the next phrase, but it does say, "You will find me when you seek me with your whole heart." But I still think that His grace overrides my inability to seek Him all the time. I'm treated much better than I deserve. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't we all?
Amen.
Listen, no one wants what's best for you more than God. Isn't that incredible? No one on the face of the earth wants what's best for you more than God. Not your kids, not your husband, not your spouse, not your family. There's no one who wants the best for you more than God. And no one knows better how to make you truly happy. Or joyous, I should say. God doesn't want you to be afraid of Him. He's not an ogre up in the sky. He wants you to run to Him, not from Him. As you study the life of Jesus, it doesn't take too long to see that when we make a sinful mistake, Jesus doesn't rub it in. Did He ever rub it in to anybody? No, He rubs it out. And we all do from time to time. I mean, we're told, you know, don't make a habit of sin. Because you don't need to make a habit of sin. Because He's given us everything to overcome it. But He doesn't rub it into us. If we come to Him, He rubs it out. You know, the first statement the angel made to the shepherds was, do not be afraid. Right? They always say that. Because, right, I mean, here we have the supernatural occurrence, and I'm terrified because I'm seeing light, and I'm seeing angels. The first statement was, do not be afraid, because Jesus came to save us, not to scare us away from Him. A lot of people are scared of Christ. And a lot of times it's because they have a guilty conscience. You tell them about Christ and they got some secret sin that they're wrestling with, or they think they're unworthy, right? But they don't have to look at God like He's here to condemn them. Jesus said, I didn't come in the world to condemn the world, but so that we might have life and life more abundantly. You know, Stephen Curtis Chapman has a song in his Christmas album. He's got a Christmas album, I think it came out a couple years ago, called Joy. And it's called I Am Joseph. It's a song about our common denominator of unworthiness. That's the common denominator that we all have when we look at God or we look at the law. That we've come up short, right? We feel unworthy. When it comes, and we really feel unworthy when it comes to warranting God's love, right? I mean, it's astounding. We can never seem to, Paul tried to get words, this unsearchable riches that we have in Christ. The last verse of his song goes like this. So let's all gather at the manger and bring all our hopes and hurts and fears, all our unworthiness and shame, knowing every one of us is the reason that He came. That's what they announced, right? This is good news of great joy for all people. And then he has this refrain, and God is with us and God is for us. This is my story and this is my song, that God is for us and He is with us all. That's what Christmas is about, that God is for us, that He came. You know, this season, we're going to get a lot of gifts probably, unless you're one of those families that say we're only going to pick names in a hat, you're only going to get one gift, which a lot of people have done now. But look, if I sacrificed all I had, let's put it this way, if you sacrificed all you had to buy me a priceless and personalized Christmas gift, and I never took the time to unwrap it or open it, how would you feel? Now, I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip, but you can use this, okay? How would you feel? Most likely you would be disappointed or hurt. Maybe even angry at my callous reaction at all the effort you took to give me a Christmas gift, and I just said, throw it to the side, never opened it. You'd feel hurt. And if I did that and left it in the corner, it would be of zero benefit to me, right? I mean, it's only to benefit to me if I open it, right? As a matter of fact, I bought my wife some Christmas gifts this season, and I hid them someplace, and I couldn't figure out what I did with them. But I finally found it. My brain came back, and I said, oh, yeah, I think it was there. But it would have been of no benefit to her to went and bought a gift that I knew she would like and then never give it to her. She never had a chance to open it. Zero benefit. And here's the punchline. There are billions of people celebrating Christians every year, year after year, without opening the greatest and most expensive gift they could ever have. And folks, it's really a lot of it's on our shoulders to bring them to mind what the season is really about, right? Jesus is the reason for the season. I mean, it's sort of a catchphrase now, but it is the reason for the season. Jesus Christ is God's Christmas gift to the world. You can fit that in someplace, couldn't you? Hey, you know what Christmas is all about? It's God's gift to the world. That's what we're celebrating. Because wrapped up in Jesus, your past can be forgiven, your present can be blessed, and your future is eternally secure. This is a great Christmas gift. Don't leave it unopened this year. Nothing more important than the implications of Christmas for the masses of people in our world. Do you know that? That is the greatest, the implications of that is the greatest lasting eternal has ramifications for every person on the face of the earth. It's God's Christmas gift to us. The firefighters had it right, didn't they? Happy birthday, Jesus. Wrapped up in that little manger, this child, it says that God is for you, God is with you, God loves you, God wants to save you from your sins, God wants to enrich your life. It's a huge package to unwrap, isn't it? But it only starts with a simple step of faith, and they can receive all the benefits of it. Let's stand, okay? We'll finish.